You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The pay gap. It's a contentious issue that's been hotly debated. We all talk about it, but don't necessarily know the specifics. So what exactly is it? I asked Joe Cribb, co-founder of Mind the Gap Aotearoa.
Yeah, what a great question, because it's this number that just kind of gets bandied around. Well, the first thing I would say is that number hasn't changed in about a decade, so it's kind of stuck around 9 or 10%. And what that means is there are usually two ways of generating it. They rank every woman and every man in terms of how much they earn, and then they pick the median of each men and woman and then work out the difference, and so that's the gap. Or sometimes it is calculated by an average of all women's earnings and an average of all men's earnings and seeing the gap. And so either way you do it, but what it does is it shows basically in terms of, I guess, women, how much do women earn each week and how much do men earn each week, and how is that different? That, as I say, it's about 10% as across the whole country. But when you start to unpick that, that 10% hides a lot of detail. So for a Pacific woman, their median income will be 27% less than a Pākehā man. And that's an enormous amount of money. If you can imagine your hourly earnings that you get and you take a third off it, that's what a Pacific woman would earn. So the actual number hides quite a lot of numbers.
So why exactly does this exist?
10 or 20 years ago, we would have said it's because women are less educated, women aren't as experienced, women aren't in high-paying jobs, and all those kind of things that are characteristics to do with women. But now, there's recent research in, about 2 years ago, and a piece that's coming out that's really looked into the causes. And actually, more than sort of 50 up to 80% of that gap can't be explained by differences in individuals. So it's the behaviours and patterns and things that happen in our workplace places at the moment that are driving the gap. So who gets promoted, how jobs are valued, how jobs are sized, and straight, who gets paid what. So it's a lot about employers and how they treat their workers, which is why we need to just stamp it out, because I know, I don't know about you, but I want to work in a workplace that's fair, that treats everyone, that we're all on a level playing field. But that's just not the case at the moment.
Last month, a report came out that found men's KiwiSaver retirement funds were 20% higher than women's. Now, this is just one example of how the pay gap kind of manifests.
Yeah,
what other examples exist that kind of demonstrate this?
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised that women retire with less money, right? Because it's a combination of being paid less throughout their whole working lives, and also potentially because women are more likely to take time off, say, to have children or to care for others or to work part-time. But I do think there's some other ways it manifests as well. If you are in a part-time job, and we've got data from the public service which shows this, you'll get paid regardless 10% less. So even if you want sort of flexible work or part-time work, which is usually women at the moment, you're even going to take a penalty for that. So it plays out in all sorts of ways, right? Not just retirement savings, not just straight income, but even if you only want to work 20 hours, you're not as valuable, you're automatically paid less than the person sitting next to you who's working 40, which again just doesn't seem right. It's just an unfair practice.
What policy or legislation currently exists in Aotearoa to kind of combat this?
Yeah, well, we had a very good look into this, so in the work in Mind the Gap, and it is illegal to pay somebody differently for doing exactly the same job, but yet we find it when organisations look into their gender pay gap, they do find that they're doing that. So that's considered pay equity. So that is, if you and I are sitting next to each other, we're doing exactly the same job, and you're paid $2 more than me, that's illegal, right? But it happens, and organisations often have pay equity gaps of sort of 1-3%, which is, you know, just illegal. The gender pay gap is a bit different because it's that median, right? So it could include being paid differently for the same job, but it could also be not getting promotions. It could be that your work unit is not valued as someone else, that you're never going to be able to be a supervisor. All those kind of things play into the gender pay gap as well as being paid differently. So it's a bigger picture. So that piece of legislation is in place, and you can, under that, you can, as a sort of a group or a union, take claims, but it's a very long process. So for each of us, I guess, as individuals, there isn't really any protection. And more importantly, we're unlikely to know because everything is not transparent, which we think is the key to this. If organisations had to publish their gender, and we would also argue ethnic pay gap, you'd be able to make choices about whether you wanted to work at that organisation. As an employee, you can see whether you're likely to be treated fairly or not in this organisation. We can choose who we purchase off, what bank we bank with, depending on how well they treat their workers through this measure. So we're calling for a Pay Gap Reporting Act, which basically very simply means all organisations over 50 employees have to publish their pay gap. So you can see it, you can make those decisions, we all can.
Have we seen this kind of legislation overseas?
What happened internationally was for many of the countries that we compare ourselves with, so Australia, UK, Canada, it's just been made compulsory in the EU. Basically, those countries have 10, 20 years of doing this, and it drops the pay gap. Organisations don't want to publish bad pay gaps, and they don't want to publish pay gaps that aren't decreasing. So they work on them, they sort them out, and researches that we've released today shows that pay gap reporting directly correlates to about a 20 to 40% drop in the gender pay gap, which means for our woman who's earning that median wage, she'll earn up to $35 a week more. That's kind of the tax she's got at the moment from the gender pay gap. That's the cost of discrimination against her. $35 a week, that's about $1,700 a year. That's an awful lot of groceries or petrol and with student loan repayments, right? For many of us, that's a big chunk of our groceries, which is great.
Critics of the pay gap tend to argue that it doesn't actually exist. So what kind of pushback would you expect against this kind of legislation?
Yeah, so I guess I've been talking about the gender pay gap for about 7, 8 odd years, and yes, I'm always surprised at how many people just don't think there is one. And the kind of sort of messages we get were, well, women choose jobs that are paid less, or women aren't ambitious so they aren't getting promoted, or women don't negotiate hard enough, that's why they're paid less, or straight, our workplaces are fair, this is something that doesn't exist. And I wish there weren't pay gap, but it's an official statistic. It's generated by Statistics New Zealand. It's recognised. It's a thing, and you can't explain the differences in pay. There isn't any explanation other than, at the moment, pretty much discrimination. So we've got too much of a body of research that says that, but I guess we call them the pay gap deniers. They're perhaps not interested in reading that research that shows this is a thing. It really is, unfortunately.
Would pay equity benefit society as a whole, or is it more of a case of pitting two sides against each other and trying to come to a compromise?
Yeah, I reckon that's a great question. We think about pay gap reporting as an investment in future workplaces and ensuring that they're fair, and that pay and promotion and, you know, even a recruitment and appointment processes are looked through of the lens of, are we treating everybody fairly? And I just think that everybody benefits for that. In terms of the actual impact of pay gap reporting, all the international research shows that men don't end up getting paid less. What happens over time is that wage growth is equalised, if that makes sense. So it sort of evens itself out. So it's more about redistributing fairly than actually taking off somebody. So that hasn't happened internationally. It won't happen here as well. But I think it's a really good example that it isn't just women. We would ask that ethnic pay gaps are reported as well. So pay gaps for Māori and for Pacific are substantial. In fact, they're more than the gender pay gap. And so just think about all those workers. It usually benefits those that are on the most lowest incomes. They're often the first to receive the benefits of sort of gender pay gap or ethnic pay gap reporting, and just how much difference that will make for working families. That $35 will make a huge difference. And again, it's just about not only cash in people's hands that's fair, but they've earned, if that makes sense. They're already doing the job, they're just not getting paid fairly for it. But think about the investment in all those working families and what that would mean. As I say, we all benefit from it.
That was Jo Krebb, co-founder of Mind the Gap, speaking to me about the gender wage gap and proposed pay gap reporting in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.